And listeners, welcome to the second class of Hermeneutics and Exegesis. I trust that you had an opportunity to listen to the first one. If not, please do that before you listen to this class for easier transition. We discussed that in studying Scripture, we want to follow Paul's instruction to Timothy to rightly divide the word of truth. In doing so, we'll talk about what are some key elements that we study as we handle God's word with fear, at the same time to prove ourselves to be a workman approved by God. Let me give you a quick rundown of what we talked about last class. We talked about introduction. As you begin studying a scripture passage, one must begin by studying the whole entire book. Outline the book down to paragraphs, if possible. And long books outline broadly. Go to paragraphs only near where you are studying, where you're doing your exegesis. For a definition of these words I'm using, please refer back to class 1. After doing a outline of the book, we talked about the testament that the book is in, the language the author uses, the purpose or the reason for the writing, who's writing, the author, all about him, conditions of his authorship, for whom he is writing, the audience, and all about them, the date of the book, those who are opponents to the writing, or opponents in the writing, cultural backgrounds, geography, things of that nature. I also said we stopped last class on limits of passage. After doing a broad study on the entire book, one must come to select a few verses. We call that pericope, P-E-R-I-C-O-P-E, pericope of scripture passage. After selecting a pericope, we begin the process of really studying that passage. But selecting the pericope is also very tricky. Versions such as the NIV has broken down chapters into paragraphs or pericopes. But as we are seekers of truth, we want to really study and find out exactly, to have our own pericope of these scripture passages. And so we read the scriptures with feeling, and we prayerfully study it, allowing the Holy Spirit to illumine our heart and mind. I said read the scripture with feeling, loudly, minimum of 5 to 10 times. Read that with feeling loudly. After doing so, coming to the context of the scripture passages that you want to study, one must set the limits of passage on that scripture portion. What do I mean by this? It's normally a paragraph where we can narrow our study down based on what the author is saying. A theme within the letter, or a book. Sometimes it could be longer, depending upon what the writing is, such as this normally happens in narratives, such as David's confrontation with Goliath in 1 Samuel 17 or Paul's speech in Acts 13. Those really we cannot break down because they're narratives. But we must determine the probable text of the passage and set limits. The way we do that is by really looking at various translations initially, compare them together, and let's see where those translations break down the paragraphs. Are they similar? Do they do it differently? With the variety of versions, we have many choices. Gather all the Bibles you can. If you don't have a certain version, I encourage you to visit BibleGateway.com, and they should have all these versions available for you on that website. But look at all the versions you can, and let's see if you can break it down and make a chart with the limits of passage based on what you see. Compare all those translations, and then read the text out loud with feeling, as I said before. When you do that, you will see if you try to be open, not just go with what you see in the Bible as far as broken down paragraphs, but be open for new pericopes that you may come across. For example, we look at 2 Timothy, as we did last class, chapter 2, and we read verse 15. My Bible has broken down this pericope beginning with verse 14 for 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, all the way to verse 19, and then there's a break again from 20 to 21, and break again from 22 to the end of the chapter. As I read the scripture, it's evident to me that verse 14 goes right along with verse 13 and the further verses above. Really, this pericope should begin, in my opinion, on verse 15. And I've done my studying, and there's a lot of others who agree with me. For example, when you read verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, keep reminding them of these things. What things? The things mentioned above. Remind them that verse 8, Jesus Christ raised from the dead, descended from David. Remind them of that. Remind them to endure hardship. Remind them that I, Paul, endure everything for the sake of the elect, verse 10, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And so, I'm convinced that verse 14 should really be part of the pericope above. We begin with verse 15, as Paul is instructing Timothy as he begins his young ministry. Begins with, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. So we begin by, in verse 15, and then we'll have to figure out, where do we go? Where did this pericope end? As we come to verse 19, Apostle Paul writes, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are His. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. next verse, it says, in a large house, there are articles. Now, Apostle Paul is using an analogy here to explain what he said before. So verse 20 also goes along with this pericope. Verse 22, Apostle Paul writes, flee the evil desires of youth. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Verse 23, don't have anything to do with the foolish and the stupid arguments, because you know what produce quarrels. Okay, so we look at that and we look at verse 20, and it's saying that in a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some for ignoble. 21, if a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument of noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. He continues in verse 22 by saying that in order for us to be of noble use in the large house of God, flee evil desires of your youth. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Verse 24, the Lord's servant must not quarrel. I'm convinced that from verse 15 all the way down to the end of the chapter, verse 26, is the pericope, 11 verses. So as one studies the scripture passage, he or she focuses on that pericope. Remember, he has the introduction to the book of all the things we discussed earlier. Now, he or she has set the limits of passage, discussing where the paragraph began and ended, where the other paragraphs before it and after it begin and end. After doing so, setting the limits of passage, we further go into the grammar, style, and genre of this particular pericope. We know that Apostle Paul writes a letter to Timothy. This is not like the historical books or literary books, the poetic books, or the books of law. This is a letter. And so the genre must be clearly defined for us to clearly understand what scripture passage, what language in the scripture passage we are working with. And after you've done that, after you understand this is a letter and a letter of instruction from Apostle Paul, the father of the spiritual father of Timothy, and he's instructing him as he begins his ministry. And we understand the impact of that. Impact of the data that it's a letter has much more value added to the scripture. Why? Because anyone who begins ministry, anyone who begins, a young man or young lady who begins his or her Christian life, can look at the scripture and say, here are some foundations that a senior in ministry is writing to a young one in the ministry. These are indeed instructions that we follow. Understand the genre, grammar, and style of the writing. Again, I encourage you to spend time in prayer after you've gotten to this point, and read the text out loud with feeling numerous times. This is no job for a 15-minute hurry-up sort of study. Anytime we do an exegetical study, it's a very extensive and dedicated study. Only those seekers of truth, seekers of God, can enjoy this process. When you see the scripture I mentioned in last class, Jesus says to Apostle Peter, "If you love me, feed my sheep." Only those who love the Lord can serve him. Everyone else, it's a burden. Everyone else, it becomes a hindrance in their life. Let me not get off track. Let me come back to our study today. We've done the introduction, the outline of the book, limits of passage, genre. At this point, we want to really read the text and come across words that we really don't understand. Words and names and things that we don't just understand by reading. We call this lexical study, lexical or word study. These studies include various research. I'm sure you're familiar with Strong's Concordance. If you are looking for a transliteration of the word, we'll look at Strong's number. You'll find the meaning, the literal meaning of the word. Discuss these meanings. These could be synonyms, antonyms, verbs, nouns. And look at all of these words in the context, so you may understand that scripture passage clearly. Very important step here, the word studies. Word studies. Next, we look at structural diagram. Structural diagram. As you've outlined the book earlier, and you have brought it down to paragraphs. Look at the scriptures or the pericopes around your pericope. What does this pericope have to do with other pericopes around it? And so you understand the emphasis the author wants to give to your pericope, why it stands. And so in this structural diagram, we want to talk about the themes of the book. Themes of the book. And as the themes of the books are there, we want to talk about the particular theme of your book as it relates to the other themes of the book. Next, we go to the cultural and historical backgrounds. What is the cultural setting of this recipients of this letter? As I mentioned earlier, the church at the time of 2 Timothy letter is written is going through persecution under Nero. And Apostle Paul writes to exhort Timothy to hold on. Hold on. So, understanding the appropriate historical background of the particular scripture portion is very important. Along with the cultural background of the scripture portion. I believe our time has come to a close for this second class. Real quickly, let me highlight the things we talked about for this class. Limits of passage. Grammar, style, and genre of passage. Lexical word studies of passage. Structural diagram of the passage. Cultural and historical backgrounds of the passage. May the Lord richly bless you as you look into His words to find truth, ultimately to divide God's word. Correctly. God bless you.